Public worship. Okay, look over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let me just read a few verses and we'll comment upon verse 3 mainly this evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother, and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulations, even as it came to pass, as you know. The title of my message this evening is Afflictions Appointed. Afflictions Appointed. You and I looked this morning briefly at chapter 1 and mainly there in chapter 2 of the Apostle Paul taking the gospel unto these Thessalonians when they were lost. And we seen the result of his preaching the gospel to them. And basically we could sum it up in this. The gospel saved those people. It saved those people. And that's the thing about the gospel, ain't it? It comes to us. There's never been a man that come to the gospel until the gospel came to them. It came to them, it saved them. It saved them from Satan and brought them to God. It saved them from sin and brought them to Christ. The gospel saved them. That's what we learned there this morning. But one thing that we begin to learn, if we'd have read chapter 2, that it wasn't long till they begin to suffer opposition. They begin to be confronted with trials, tested. Look here in chapter 2 and verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the church of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. And look in one more place with me. Look over in the second epistle of Thessalonians. And look here in verse 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. So what we find is when the Lord saved them, they begin to suffer. Afflictions came upon these people. Now that sounds strange, doesn't it? Of all the people in this world that should suffer, it sounds strange that a child of God should suffer. Because a child of God, when the Lord saved him, one of the first things he begins to do, and he does it through a lot of weakness and much infirmity, but the first thing he starts doing is to seek to honor the Lord who saved him. Seeks to sing his praises, show forth the praises of him that's called him out of darkness unto his marvelous light. Seeks to walk worthy of God. And it seems strange that a man like that should begin to suffer. But that's what we find out here in this epistle. We sometimes think things are going to go easy. That's what I thought when the Lord first saved me. Things are going to go easy. But that ain't the way it is in the believer's life. Solomon talked about fools going to the house of mirth. Fools are in the house of laughter. And that often happens. While the poor lambs of God go to the house of mourning, weeping and affliction. The Lord Jesus said, the world shall laugh, they shall rejoice, but you shall weep and lament, and how often that's brought to pass in every child of God's life to some degree. In this world you shall have tribulation. Many are the affliction of the righteous. You and I know something about peace. A peace that we never knew before until we come to know God. It's a peace that passes all understanding. We know something about the joy of the Lord, don't we? The joy that's brought to a man's heart by the Holy Spirit. A joy the natural man knows nothing about. We know something about that. We know something about what it means for the soul to find its rest in Jesus Christ the Lord. To be burdened and heavy laden, and Christ come to the soul and give it its rest. We know something about that. But we know something about sorrow, don't we? We know something about what it is to water our pillow with our tears. We know something about that. The children of God know something about that. Family trials. I think sometimes family trials are some of the worst trials you can face. Burdened over your children. Conflict with your neighbors. Conflict at work. Conflict within your own heart. That warfare that takes place there. Doubts and fears and unbelief. Sin and sense molesting our spirits. We know something about afflictions. We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. Why does afflictions come to a child of God? No doubt he's going to have them, but why do they come? Well, we have it recorded here in this text in verse 3 of chapter 2. The scripture says, they are appointed. They are appointed. Well, we're surprised when we suffer. We're surprised when it comes. As children of God, we're surprised and we're troubled when afflictions come. We should expect them. We're told all through the scripture that they're coming, but it surprises us when they come. Oh, Jacob said this about his own life. All these things are against me. Ain't that what he said? He got so bad in Jacob's life when he first met Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, how old are you, old man? He said, I'm 130 years old. And he said, every one of my days has been evil, full of evil. That's what he said. We should expect that, but we're surprised when it comes. Afflictions and evil. But why do they come? Well, my text here this evening says this. They are appointed. And I take it when he said here that we're appointed to afflictions, I just reverse that and say the same is so. If you and I are appointed to affliction, then afflictions must be appointed to us. You can't separate the one from the other, can you? Afflictions are appointed. I don't have much comfort this evening if I look upon afflictions as accidents. I can't get much comfort out of it. If I look upon the things that happens in my life that afflicts my soul and my body as accidents, I can't get much comfort out of it. And I can't get much comfort out of looking at second causes. Whatever instrument God may use in our afflictions, I can't get much comfort out of looking to them. But here's where we find comfort, that our afflictions are appointed of God. And this word appointed means to fix beforehand, to determine and allot out accordingly. And we say according to God's purpose, our Father in heaven's purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now this is a mystery. When Paul says you're appointed to afflictions, and afflictions are appointed to you, this is a mystery. And let me give you a good example, one that all of us are familiar with this evening. You know the story about a young man by the name of Joseph. He's a teenager, as far as I know. Young teenager, probably. When he started having these dreams, he had a dream that in some way or another, he's going to be exalted. He's going to be exalted to the point that his 11 brethren was going to come and bow down before him and do obedience to him. Every time he had this dream, he went out and told somebody about it. He just bragged about it and boasted in it. Told his dad, said, you know, all you guys are going to come and bow down before me. I'm going to be somebody. God had revealed that to him, that he was going to be exalted, going to be a ruler, and his brethren, even his dad, was going to come and bow down before him. But boy, almost immediately, some terrible things begin to happen. First thing, his brethren got so jealous of him, got so mad at him, caught him out one day and threw him in a pit. And got him out and sold him to a bunch of foreigners for a slave. He wound up down in Egypt. And down in Egypt, he was falsely accused of trying to rape his master's wife. Stuck him in prison for years. He would have got out of prison, but through human error, he's left in there for two more years. A man forgot about it. They put his feet in the stocks, and his ankles bled, and he suffered for years and years down in that prison. And then there come a day when almost suddenly God exalted him out of that prison, put him there next to Pharaoh on the throne. Even the princess of Pharaoh was subject to this man. His brethren came down. He revealed himself to them. They bowed down before him, finally confessed, and he forgave them. And they were sitting around talking about it all. And everything that Joseph had suffered and all his afflictions and why they came upon him. And his brethren began to consider themselves and said, boy, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. And they thought for sure he's going to deal harshly with them. And no doubt what they did to him, they meant to do him harm. And no doubt Joseph knew that God would deal with him accordingly. And Potiphar's wife had falsely accused him, got him thrown into jail, and no doubt that God would deal with her accordingly. But you know what Joseph said? Joseph said, you didn't send me down here. Ain't that what he said, Larry? I know that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save much people alive. Now, that's what we mean this evening when we say afflictions are appointed. Now, Joseph come out of that, and he began to look backwards from being there on the throne underneath that great king Pharaoh, and he looked backwards at each step of the way, and he could see God's hand in it. It's always easy to look backwards at it. When you've come through these afflictions and trials, and then you can see the good come out of it, then most of the time, or at least sometime, we can see the hand of God in it. It's easy looking back. But how much comfort would Joseph had gotten from that? If while he was in that affliction, if while he was in that pit being despised of his brethren, while he was in the dungeon with those bracelets on his ankles holding him to the wall, what if every step of the way he had known and believed that God had appointed him for that? How much comfort do you think he'd have got out of that? That's what I'm saying this evening about these afflictions, that God has appointed them. Our Father in heaven has appointed these afflictions. I can't understand all the ways they come. It's a mystery to me. It's a mystery to you. But here we have it. They are appointed. God has appointed you to these afflictions. I know God's purposes in our life, in each of our life, can be a great mystery. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And furthermore, I don't want to know. It scares me sometimes to think about it. But where you and I find comfort, brothers and sisters, is this. We know who holds tomorrow. Whatever evil may be appointed tomorrow, we know who regulates and rules that evil. It's our Father in heaven. But knowing, now listen to this. Here's the comfort I get from this. Knowing that God Himself has appointed the afflictions. And when I say God, I mean our Heavenly Father. And since He has appointed those afflictions, He will regulate those afflictions. That is, He says when they come, He says how severe they will be, and He says when they'll end. Now, don't you find some comfort in that? Paul tells this church here, Thessalonica, he says, I'm sending Timothy to you to establish you concerning your faith. And here's what he seems to tell Timothy to tell him. That no man be moved by these afflictions. For you know that we're appointed to them. And who but God appoints that? Aren't you glad the devil don't appoint it? Aren't you glad you don't appoint it? Haven't you come to trust your Heavenly Father to the point you're glad when you know that He does it? Listen now, whether we know, as Paul said these Thessalonians knew, and whether we believe that God has appointed these afflictions or not, that won't change the afflictions. I don't care if you believe it or not, they're coming. You ain't going to change that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. They will not change the afflictions themselves, but knowing and believing that our Father in heaven has appointed these afflictions will change our attitude towards these afflictions. And firstly, it'll do this. He'll keep us from being offended at all these second causes. There's no doubt in our mind, brothers and sisters, that Joseph's brethren sinned against him. They did him wrong. But was he bitter over it? He wasn't bitter at them at all, was he? He forgave them. He didn't hold any of this against them. And you know why? He knew all they were was second causes. What they did out of their wretched hearts. But he freely forgave them because he said, I know who appointed this. That'll keep you from getting bitter and getting mad at people. And secondly, instead of despairing over our afflictions, when we remember that our Father in heaven has appointed these afflictions, it will strengthen our faith. As soon as faith hears that God has appointed this affliction, why, it takes comfort. It lays hold upon that. And said, if my Father has appointed this, then I can bear it. Would He give too much for me not to be able to bear it? So first of all is this. Do we know? You know, he said, that we're appointed to these. Do we know that? Do we believe that? No accidents? If you want to believe in accidents, that's fine. That's fine. If you've got some scripture that you can latch hold to and say, here's an accident, then that's all right. If you can find some comfort in that, I ain't Lord over your faith. Ain't no cheer in your conscience for me to say. That belongs to the Lord Jesus and His Word. But brothers and sisters, for my own self, I find great comfort in knowing and believing that my Father in heaven has appointed these afflictions. I mean, every tear that wets my cheek, every sigh that only God Himself can hear in my soul, He appoints that. Every grief that I feel in my spirit, in my infirmities, He's appointed all that. I find great comfort in that. I find great comfort in that. Do we know that? Paul says you're knowing that these afflictions are appointed. Secondly is this. Do we know as God's children that all these afflictions are appointed? You say, Bruce, I thought that was your first point. My first point was, do we know these afflictions are appointed? My second point is this. Do we know that all these afflictions are appointed? See, we like to pick and choose, don't we? We like to look and say, well, we know this was appointed. Why? Because, oh, it did me so much good. What about that seemed to bring you down? You believe that's appointed too? I understand David being appointed to walk beside still waters. I can understand the Lord preparing a table in the presence of David's enemies, because that's good. But what about when David was in that horrible pit in the miry clay? Was that appointed? Huh? Was that appointed? There's some mysterious things in the Scriptures, and you and I have to be so careful with them. David was forced out of Jerusalem, bless his heart, because of his sin, really. And I can almost see him, and I almost weep every time I read it in the Scriptures. David and his men, a few of the ladies, going up the Mount Olives. Every time you think about the Lord Jesus, they're on Mount Olives. David went up Mount Olives, ascending up that mountain, and he was barefooted. Here the king is barefooted, had his head covered. Everybody else put covers on their head too. All of them wept. They all wept. David's own son had sought to overthrow David's kingdom, and David had to flee and run from him. And they got up there to the top of the hill and got a ways out, and this wretched man, some kindred of King Saul, came out on the hill and started cussing David. You bloody man. You reprobate, he called him. Joab's brother wanted to go up and take his head off, didn't he? Oh, king, don't let him talk to you like this. He got no business cursing my king. Let me go up and take his head off. And you know what David told him? He said, you let him alone. God has told him, curse David. Now, can you understand that? I can't understand that. I can't understand when Israel began to afflict the children of Israel. They got mad at them, got envious of them, and started making slaves out of them. I can't understand this, but here's what Psalms 105 and verse 25 said. God turned their hearts to hate them. I can't understand that, can you? I can't explain that. I know this much. God's not the author of sin. And God does not infuse sin into man. I know that. All I know is that when it says God did this in some mysterious way, He either gave the devil permission to do it, or He draws back from the hearts of wicked men and lets them do it. But in any case, it's Him that appoints it. He appoints it, you see. And therefore, since He's the first cause, and without any sin in it whatsoever, and I'm sure, brothers and sisters, on the Day of Judgment, that'll be perfectly clear. You and I may not understand it now. And seem like sometime when we read some of these passages, it seems like it makes God the author of sin. But we know the nature of God, therefore we know that's impossible. And yonder on the Day of Judgment, when everything is made clear, we'll say, oh, we see now. We see now. But all I know is this, that these things are appointed in the lives of God's children. And they're mysterious things. And you and I are just called upon to believe it, to know it and believe it, that we're appointed to afflictions. We don't pick and choose. All these things are appointed. The good things and the bad things, our falls and our standing, our sickness and our health, our death and our life, our loss and our gain, all our times, all our ways are in His hands. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Job found comfort in the midst of all his troubles when he's sitting there on that ash heap, and he said this: he knows the way that I take. And you go back over and read chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Job, and we find out God did know the way that he took, because God ordained his way. God appointed the way. The time that he should begin his sufferings, did he not? Satan could not touch him. Nothing could touch Job unless God had appointed it. Everything, whether it's the devil or men or principalities and powers, when anything touches a child of God, they first must get permission from God himself. And God says, now you can do it. And it has to be to this degree. You don't touch his life. And right here when it's going to end. And I take comfort in that. He knows the way that I take, because he's appointed it. If Job had it all to do over, would he change some things? Why, of course he would. If David had it to do over, don't you think he'd change some things? He laid there on his deathbed and he said, boy, my house, it just ain't like I'd like for it to be. But you know something, brothers and sisters? They didn't have that option. And neither do you and I. We go through this world and we walk by faith. We have our ups and downs, our strugglings. We have some victories and we have some defeats. We have some good times and we have some bad times. And we can't change a thing. We can't go back and change a thing. We come to the end of our way and we say with David, oh, if I had it to do over. But one of the comforting things that we find in this, above everything else, it all worked out as God appointed. And he appointed it all. And you know something? If he had to appoint it all over again, I doubt seriously if he had changed a thing. You think he would? He wouldn't change a thing. And Paul said, I'm writing here and sending Timothy to you to encourage you concerning your faith, that you may know these afflictions are appointed of God. Now listen to this. I'll give you a couple of things and then I'll close. The more the children of God are convinced of this, the more bold and daring they become in trying great things for the cause of Christ and truth. The more they're convinced of this, the more daring they become in trying great things for the cause of God. This is a lively thing. I can't explain it, but it's a lively thing. If you believe in your heart that God has ordained for you to do a certain thing, I mean, and it's dead certain that God has appointed that, what would you do to endure whatever you had to endure? Just to see the end results. Because you already knew what God would appoint. What if this spring, let me give you this example. What if this spring, Larry, God had appointed you. He told you that a big field out there in the country. You sow that field, he's telling you to plow that field and sow it. And this fall, you're going to have a crop and you're going to do great good with it. And the Lord says to you, Larry, I've already appointed. I've already appointed. If you had to, you'd go get a mule and you'd plow that thing with a mule. And I don't care how dry it got or how wet it got, you'd watch that crop, you'd take care of that crop, because you knew that God had already appointed the great harvest this fall. But here's where faith comes in. We don't know. We just don't know, do we? But faith don't need something absolute. Faith just needs who can tell. Or maybe. What if? What if? Boy, this, I can't explain this, but this gets lively in our souls. Faith knows that God, when he's purposed to do something, when he's appointed something to come to pass, nobody can hinder him. And faith says, oh my, let me in on this. Perhaps God is going to do some great thing, so let me have at it.
Let me put some sweat into it. Let me put a few blisters on my fingers. Let me harness up the mules. Let me plow. Because God's appointed a great harvest. See what I'm saying? Had a man say one time, if I believed that, I'd stay at the house. That's not the way it affects you at all. Paul believed, he knew that God had ordained, had appointed, that all his elect obtain that salvation that's in Christ Jesus. Did he believe that? That's what he preached. All of them was going to obtain the salvation that's in Christ Jesus. How did that affect his attitude? Did he just go on and sit down? Here's what he said. I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain that salvation. He'd go from one country to the next, from one town to the next, from one house to the next. I don't care if they made a whipping post out of him, because he knew that God had appointed something. And he was willing to get in on it, because he knew it was sure. If God has appointed my afflictions, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bear up under them. I'm going to be patient under them. You read the 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. I just read verse 4 to you, didn't I? Paul talked about we're thankful that you're patient. You're patient. You're hopeful in all these tribulations and afflictions that you endure. Ain't that what he told them? What made them endure and be patient and hope? Why, he reminded them these afflictions are appointed. Well, if they're appointed, then we'll bear up under them. We'll wait. Since God has appointed all these things, when all is said and done, everything's finished, everything has been mixed together, all the eggs have been broke, and the flour's been poured into the bowl, and all the ingredients, and it's all been mixed together by sovereign divine providence, and it's all baked up, and the supper's ready, and you and I sit down there in glory. You know what we're going to say? Didn't this come out very well? Didn't everything turn out real well? Is it not so what they used to tell us, that God is too wise to err? Hasn't He proved that to us? That's what we'll say when we sit there in glory. He's too good to be unkind. And we'll find out that through all our afflictions, He never was unkind to us, not one single time. And He was so wise, He never did err in every step He appointed to us. God works in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and He rides upon the storm. Judge not the Lord by your feeble sense. And that's all we have. But trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides. And there's why you and I are confused about all this. He hides. But what does He hide? A smiling face. Your afflictions are appointed. Don't that encourage you? All things work out for good, we know. Such is God's great design. He orders all our steps below for purposes divine. Listen to this. This is the faith that keeps me still, no matter what the test, and lets me glory in His will, for I know His will is best. So now the future holds no fear. God guards the work begun, and mortals are immortal here until their work is done. Someday the path He chose for me will all be understood. In heaven's clearer light, I'll see all things worked out for good. God appoints our afflictions and I bless him for it. Father, we do thank you. We praise you, our Father in heaven. We praise you that you're so kind and tender to us, appointed all these things. You're so mysterious, your ways are so above us, they're past finding out. Your blessed and dear Son hang upon the cross by the hands of wicked men, and yet you appointed it all. We bless you, our Father. We praise you. We find no other words to say. Forgive us of our murmuring. Forgive us of our doubts. And give us eyes to see and faith to receive that you hold our ways and you've set our path. And then we can praise you for it. Amen.